a big ABC Radio Adelaide welcome to Professor Gary Whittet.
Morning, David. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Gary. Thank you for talking to us. We appreciate you're a very generous man with your time, Gary.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure always.
Now, we better define what is obesity and what is diabetes, because there's a couple of types, isn't there?
So, yeah, look, diabetes is, or diabetes mellitus, because there's another kind of diabetes that's different. Diabetes mellitus means dealing with sweet, or there's a sugar kind of diabetes. And there's two broad categories. There are actually more, but just to divide them broadly into two, there's type 1 diabetes, which is where the pancreas, which is the organ in the body that makes insulin, that regulates blood sugar, is unable to make any insulin at all. And usually that's because the pancreas has been destroyed by an autoimmune process where the body attacks itself. And that may be triggered by an infection or some genetic predisposition, or, you know, we don't really understand what triggers it. More frequently seen in children, but there are also forms of that disease that occur in adults and even in older adults. Type 2 diabetes is a condition where the insulin molecule doesn't work properly on the cells. So if you imagine a lock and key scenario or a door where you've got a rusty old lock and rusty hinges, and it's difficult to unlock and open the door without sort of kicking it really hard, that's what happens in type 2 diabetes, where insulin doesn't really activate the mechanism that opens the door to blood sugar to get into the cells, without producing huge amounts of extra insulin by the pancreas to do that. That's the equivalent to sort of a harder kick or the bigger turn on the lock to get into the cell. And that's frequently occurs together with obesity. Now, it can be genetic, and in fact, type 1 diabetes is not so much genetic, but type 2 diabetes is strongly genetic, but it's made much, much worse if you accumulate extra fat. So that gives you the distinction between those conditions. And type 2 diabetes, initially the pancreas can compensate and can make extra insulin, but at some point that pancreas starts making less insulin than is needed to kick that lock open and get the sugar into the cells. And at that point, the blood sugar starts going up. So it's a disease that evolves from the earliest stages of just some resistance to the later stage of failure of the pancreas and high blood sugar. And it's important, though, although I'm talking a lot about blood sugar, that insulin regulates what we call intermediary metabolism, which is how nutrients are used for fuel and also how they're used to build our bodies, in a sense. So we need insulin to metabolize protein, to build muscle, and to use fat in the proper way, and to use glucose in the proper way. And the balance between breakdown and storage of these nutrients is regulated by insulin.
Right. Now, if you've got a question for Professor Gary Whittet, give us a call, 1-300-222-891. The text line is 0467-922-891. Nigel has called from Marino. Hello, Nigel.
Yeah, hello. I'd like to get the professor to comment on the healthy fat, low carbohydrate diet. My experience is that by removing things like or reducing sugars, but taking out lots of the grain, so rice, pasta, potatoes, bread, that sort of thing, you can significantly reduce your weight and do it a lot easier than many other diets.
Yeah, so that's correct. So there are some important concepts that you've mentioned there. One is healthy fat, and we can talk a bit about that. The other one is the nature of carbohydrate. So we can't eliminate carbohydrate completely from our diets, and it's probably not a good idea to do that. But what we can do is we can get rid of the processed foods that contain carbohydrate. So they're the simple sugars. So they'd be things like sweetened soft drinks, and even fruit juice, which contains huge amounts of readily available sugar. Foods that are highly processed, pasta, for example, anything that's made out of flour, is highly processed, where the fiber, the soluble fiber and insoluble fibers are stripped out of the food. All the vitamins and minerals are stripped out of the food. Sometimes they add a little bit back, but mostly they're stripped out. And what you're left with is pure, easily absorbed sugar. And that creates a problem because that easily absorbed sugar is driving metabolism in an inappropriate way. So when we talk about low carbohydrate diet, it's important to think about the kind of carbohydrate. So carbohydrate that's part of a processed diet is not going to be healthy for us, but carbohydrate that's part of whole grains, grains like they looked originally, not that have been smashed up and baked.
You've got to ask yourself, is this what it looked like when it left the plant?
Exactly. That's what you got to ask. And, I tell people, when you're choosing something to eat, ask yourself two questions. Before this was on my plate, was it growing somewhere? Either on a bush, a tree, in the ground, or was it with its mother? So the idea of eliminating processed foods from the diet.
What do you mean, was it with its mother?
Well, think about, say, an egg was with its mother.
Okay.
Milk was with its mother.
Right.
Bacon wasn't with its mother because it was in the factory getting smoked and processed.
Yeah.
But a piece of pork was probably reasonably closely with its mother. And try not to think too hard about that because you get into Skippy and stuff and it becomes unfortunate.
Oh, dear, yes. Okay. All right, so there's... What about these breads, though? That they look like white bread, but the bag says, no, it's high in fiber. You can't see the nuts, the seeds and things.
At the end of the day, they're adding some fiber. They've stripped out anything that's nutritious in it. So if you're eating large amounts of bread, and by the way, those breads have huge amounts of salt. So yes, there's a little bit more fiber, but in no way is that going to replace the nutrition that you're going to get out of eating other staples. And legumes are a fantastic staple. Other sorts of grains like barley. Not processed barley, but whole barley, quinoa, those are great grains, and you eat them as whole grains, and the nutritional value is enormous.
Right. So if you're looking at a bread and you can't see the seed, you might be ripped off.
Yeah, and be careful of the sort of equivalent of chicken sprint soup, where you boil the water and the chicken sprints through it, where you bake the bread and you sprint a few seeds through. I don't think that's going to cut it. And I go to the supermarket and it says that there's this fantastic barley bread or barley wraps and they're better for you.
Yeah.
And you have a look and it's about 5% barley and 95% what it used to be. So be careful of the marketing hype.
Okay. We're talking to Professor Gary Whittet. He's a director with the Freemason Centre for Males Health and Wellbeing. And he's talking to us about diabetes and diet. Michael has called from Melbourne at 23 minutes past 10. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, look, I've got a mysterious one here. I'm 57, not particularly fit. I've got two younger brothers. They both got type 1 insulin diabetes just after they're 40.
Right.
Now, my 26-year-old son found out he had type 1 insulin diabetes 3 or 4 years ago. And one of my brother's sons has got type 1 insulin diabetes, found out when he was about 10. So basically all of the males except for me have it, and I'm the only unhealthy, unfit one.
Okay, well, Gary, what do you make of that?
Being unhealthy and unfit's not a good idea just because you've escaped type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, so stop being so smug, Michael.
you can still get type 2 diabetes. And actually, type 1 and type 2 diabetes can coexist. So the requirements for type 2 diabetes, which is the insulin resistance and a whole bunch of metabolic abnormalities that are linked to unhealthy fat, someone with type 1 diabetes who gets that can easily get type 2 diabetes, and some people would call that double diabetes.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Michael?
Well, sort of. None of the girls have got it. So I'm just wondering, there must be a genetic component to this, I suppose.
There's almost certainly a genetic component, and there are some genetic conditions that look a lot like type 1 diabetes, but they don't have the same positive antibodies that type 1 diabetes have. So without getting into the specifics, obviously, because I don't know the family and what's been tested, it's important to make that distinction. But they're all still genetic forms, but not the classic autoimmune type.
Okay, so the answer to your question is yes, you might have got the genetic winning ticket, Michael, out of your family, but you need to get out there and do some exercise and watch what you eat anyway. Is that it, Gary?
That's pretty much it. Okay. Worth making the call to hear that, Michael.
Thank you very much for your call, Michael from Malvern. Gary, listener wants to know, is Metamucil okay? Metamucil's a product that helps to keep you regular, doesn't it?
Sure. And you know, it's far better to get your fiber from food. When you get your fiber from food, it's got all kinds of other things in it. Most of them we don't even ever talk about that are good for you. And, you know, there's just no getting away from the very rich source of nutrients that exist in food. All sorts of chemicals.
But would it be the case, Gary, that look, some people might be eating a decent diet and for whatever reason, and maybe it's their genes or whatever, they're just not regular. And so they turn to a product. In this case, it's Metamucil. Or are you saying, no, you should be able to do it naturally?
Well, I would always ask the question, and I again can't comment because there may be some people who need the Metamucil and it's a good product. But apart from that, the question should always be asked whether you're eating enough fiber in your diet, whether you're drinking enough water, and by the way, whether you're exercising enough, because that also helps keeps the bowels regular.
Okay. Philip has called from Clearview. Hello, Philip.
Hi, I've got an interesting situation with type 2 diabetes, but I've also got celiac disease.
Gee.
Now, the problem I have is when I go out to eat bakery items, maybe gluten-free, if I can find some, but they're also high sugar. And vice versa, I can get something that might be good diabetes-wise, but it's not gluten-free.
Why don't you just eliminate the bakery items and not eat them at all? I mean, if you took the view that fruit and vegetables and salad items and meat, fish and chicken are all perfectly safe for people with celiac disease, your problem is food processing. If you eliminate processed foods, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, it's just what can I eat when I go to places, because there's not many choices for me now.
Well, most places will make meat, fish, chicken, salad and vegetables. I'm not entirely sure where the perspective of needing to have processed flour-based foods is required.
What do you think, Philip?
Yeah, difficult one, isn't it? Because I'm trying to work the balance between not having too much sugar but also not having to have processed food at the same time. But I find Indian food is rather good for me.
Mm. Gary, is this, if Philip's in a bit of a quandary and it's just not working out for him, is there somewhere where he can go which will set out a clear diet, at least the basis of a diet, for somebody who's diabetic and celiac?
Not straight off the top of my head, but I mean, I think the simple principle is still the easiest one. Ask yourself the question. If you just took the basic foods, things that grow, things that were with their mother, that's what most recipes are made out of. You can go to YouTube, you can look at the CSIRO diet book, you can look at any cookbook for vegans or natural foods, or even a celiac cookbook, and ask yourself what recipes in those books or online are made from fresh whole ingredients that don't include processed foods, don't include flour. There are dozens and dozens of those. It's a problem-solving exercise, and maybe there's a space for a specific book that guides people through it. But essentially, if people focus on the basic ingredients, real food, and not expensive to get fruit and vegetables if you buy what's seasonal, and try find the time to make them yourself into the various things that you want to eat.
Good on you, Philip. Thank you for calling. Thank you to all the people who've sent us texts. There's lots more texts coming in. Gary, we've got to wind it up there. We're going to have to get you back in. You know that.
All right. Only with pleasure.
Thank you very much, Gary. Professor Gary Whittet, Director of the Freemasons Centre for Males Health and Wellbeing.